high 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 42 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody. Let's do this. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday, December 17th, 2025. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfeld with you this morning for the next couple of hours talking sports and more here on the Big Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, plus Tide109.com and that Tide109 app. Download that to your wireless device and take us with you anywhere you go. And we're loaded today. We got a really good show on tap. I'll tell you all about it in a moment. A lot of topics, too, of interest right now that we're going to be talking about. First, though, let me tell you, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Remember, owned and not-for-profit, it's just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup for today, Bart Heitch. Heitch on Hoops coming up at 9:30 this morning, the former Mississippi State Final Four point guard. And we'll break down SEC basketball for him as the conference schedule is just right around the corner. Some interesting non-conference action that we've already seen. A lot of teams in the SEC that will be vying for NCAA tournament berths and Final Four spots. At least aspirations for the Final Four. We'll be talking with Bart Heitch about all the SEC basketball going on. At 10:30, Larry the Music Man. I think he's going to have a twist on Christmas today, Chase. I know he's been texting you as well. So he's going to tell some stories about being out on the road during the Christmas season playing music. And we'll have a little Christmas theme with Larry the Music Man this morning at 10:30 here on the program. As always, your phone calls are welcome. 205-342-9904 is the number. 205-342-9904 is that number. If you want to join us here on the program, you are more than welcome to do so. We'd love to hear from you. All right, some notes that are going on in the sports world right now. Boy, our Wi-Fi is slow this morning. Had a few notes here on my phone. Wanted to bring them out. Availability report came out last night for Alabama, Oklahoma, and LT Overton is out. I think we were all hopeful that the defensive end would play. Kevin Riley's still out. Of course, obviously, Cam Howard, Jamarian Latham, Drake Kirkpatrick Jr., and Jeremiah Beeman have been out for a while. On the questionable list, Josh Quavis. So the tight end that Alabama depends on a lot when he's in the lineup. I feel good that he's going to play in the game. How many snaps he'll play, I don't know. And also Danny Lewis Jr., another one of the tight ends, is questionable. For Oklahoma, they've got defensive back Gentry Williams, defensive back Kendall Dolby, defensive back Jeremiah Newcomb, and defensive or offensive lineman Troy Everett are all out. Defensive lineman Jake Makakula is listed as questionable, and running back Javonte Barnes is listed as probable. So that means that R. Mason Thomas is going to play, their outstanding pass rusher. He's not on the list at all. So that means he is good to go. Alabama football hiring Derek Nix as the wide receivers coach. Nice hire. Played high school football at Etowah High School over in Atala in the Gadsden area. Plays Southern Miss. His brother Tyrone Nix, of course, is a longtime defensive coordinator in college football. And Nix was serving as the offensive coordinator at Auburn. Before that, served a long time at Ole Miss and has a lot of SEC experience. I think is a nice pickup. Tremendous recruiter as well. Joining the Alabama staff as wide receivers coach to replace Jamarcus Shepherd, who, of course, is going to be leaving to go to Oregon State to be the head coach of the Beavers program. So, Alabama basketball tonight at home against South Florida. Of course, South Florida in the news with Alex Gullis, their football coach, leaving to become the head coach at Auburn. And their basketball coach is Brian Hodson, former Alabama assistant, former Arkansas State head coach, good friends with Nate Oates. So, and they're a really good offensive rebounding team. You know, that caught my attention. They're sixth in the country in offensive rebounding. And you know what the bugaboo has been for Alabama. It's giving up offensive rebounds. So just something to look out for tonight. I mean, they're not a great team, but they could give Alabama a little bit of trouble tonight. Certainly expect Alabama to win the game, but and then the Alabama women last night. You know what? Chase, let me bring you in here a minute, because you know we have Christy Curry. We feature her pretty often on the show. They're flying under the radar because of their schedule. You know, they haven't played a great schedule, but they're 12-0. And they beat Sam Houston last night 73-36. So, again, I get it. I mean, the schedule has not been the most difficult schedule. But 12-0 is 12-0, and they're stacking wins. And, you know, when you consider they lost three players to the WNBA, this is a excellent start for them. And you know what I like, Chase, is that – and I'm disappointed a little bit that last year they didn't go further in the NCAA tournament. But she being Christy Curry, has built this program now to a level where, you know, they're pretty consistently good.
Yeah, it's awesome to see what they're doing this year, even though the schedule they have, it is what it is, but they're taking care of business where it needs to be taken care of. I like what they're doing with Essence Cody. I know she's injured right now, but a lot of other teammates like Jessica Timmons, who is the leading scorer for them. We know about Weathers. Ace Austin is starting to find her groove. And a lot of the bench players are starting to step up too. You need everybody to contribute, and if you have that on your table, then it's hard to stop. And I know they have one more game before they start SEC play, and ironically, they're going down the South Kakalakin, one of the top teams in the country. But this is big for Coach Curry. You know, you want to have as much momentum as you can, and like I said, if everybody can produce at a high level, you're going to be one of the teams to stop. And like you said, I don't know why they're under the radar, and you know, they're 12-0 right now, but I'm proud of the Crimson Tide and what they're doing, and if they can get this win tonight against a very feisty Tulane team, then the sky's the limit for this team this season.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a time out here on the Gary Harris Show. This hour being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. We got Heights on Hoops coming up at 9:30. We have got audio from plenty of Alabama football audio. We were able to get to Kalen DeBoer and Ty Simpson yesterday. We got some more players, plus Ryan Grubb and Kane Womack, the coordinators, and that was just yesterday that they talked. So maybe we can get to a little football audio as well. I think we'll be able to. Love to get some phone calls in the next segment. What's on your mind? Counting down to kickoff. It's just 2 days away now for Alabama and Oklahoma. Will the Tide triumph and move on to the quarterfinals in the Rose Bowl against Indiana, top-ranked Indiana? Or will Oklahoma beat Alabama for the third time in 13 months? I don't even want to think about that, Jace. That can't happen. Alabama's got to win. By the way, I picked a 24-20 Bama last night on TITV. We'll be right back after this.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa thread.
Good Wednesday morning. Tuscaloosa's Toys for Tots campaign has completed 4 days of distributing gifts that it collected to give to kids for Christmas this year. Organizers say they helped more than 1,300 families by providing 6,000 children with Christmas. Click TuscaloosaThread.com throughout the day for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Townsquare Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet.
Semaglutide injection 0.5, 1, and 2 milligrams.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports. And on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. Rain down Santa Claus' lane. Blitzen, blitzen, all here's a reindeer. Stockings and say your prayer, 'cause Santa Claus
just checking a text from Bart Heitz. Heitz on Hoops. It's his birthday today. So he's coming to us from Nashville here in just a little bit. So happy birthday early. Not early, because it is a birthday, but happy birthday here on the show to Bart Heitz. 9:21 here on the program. Let's, since we don't have any calls, which is very odd for us lately, let's go ahead and let's run a little Ryan Grubb audio, Chase, and the Alabama offensive coordinator. Got a tough test ahead for that offense against this aggressive Oklahoma defense. 41 sacks. Oklahoma leads the country in sacks, or tied for the lead with Texas A&M. They get after the quarterback. Here's Ryan Grubb, Alabama offensive coordinator, from yesterday, talking about the upcoming matchup against the Oklahoma Sooners.
Hey, Ryan, to get the offense back to where it was when it kind of was at its peak this season, what do you think needs to happen?
Well, obviously, we've got to get a rhythm early in the football game. Weren't capable of that in the SEC championship. Besides taking a knee at the end of the half, I think we ran 19 plays in the first half of that game. Nine of them were runs. We just weren't effective at all. So it starts with just, you know, moving the chains on third down. I think, simply put, you know, those are the things that we did really well early in the season and at the midpoint when we were on that four-game run against some tough opponents. And the consistency in that is we're more than capable. We got great kids that play hard, smart, and they're more than capable of getting that done. So excited about the challenge.
Jump over to front left, Colin.
Hey, Ryan, what have you seen, I guess, from Jam over the past 2 weeks? Is he, you know, with him being fully healthy, or have you seen more of a fire under him as he, you know, in practice? Or?
Yeah, Jam's always got a fire. But, yeah, he looks great. He's out there running around today. Did an awesome job. Feel like he'll be full go, ready to contribute and help us get rolling again.
Going back to the front right. Let's go to Tony next.
With the struggles in the running game, how important is it to take deep shots early in the game, maybe to open up the defense a little bit, just to kind of maybe announce your presence there? Is that a strategy you kind of use?
I've used them all. I've used throw the deep ball early and run later, run early, throw the deep ball after. So I think some of it obviously comes down to the whatever schematic advantage you think you have against a particular defense and what they give you early in a game or don't give you. And I think sometimes there's a feel out process during the game and you can see what you think you have success with. But, you know, for us, whether the ball's going down the field or running the football, we got to be more consistent with the ball moving forward, period. Whether it's an explosive play, 5-yard run, we got to get first downs and be consistent on early downs.
Question from Joe back in the middle right now.
Coach, what does Oklahoma's defense do so well that creates their havoc plays, turnover, sacks, and what is the key to avoiding that?
Good question. They do a great job of creating confusion. That's what they're good at. Their guys are, you know, well executed. You can see that they've been in the system a couple years now and have kind of moved forward a little bit compared to even last year. So I think it's just really trying to get your eyes in the wrong spots. Their guys play physical and fast, you know, so they're confident in the scheme that they run, which I think is really, really important in any scheme. And they certainly do that. So they play with an edge that, you know, you got to make sure that you're matching their intensity and go above it.
Question from Katie, right in front there.
Before the SEC championship, talking to Kalen about a rematch, it had been a while since y'all played Georgia, so he talked about it being different teams. It's only been a month since that Oklahoma game.
Yeah.
Is there kind of a benefit to that y'all moved the ball pretty well against a really good defense and things y'all can draw back on from that previous matchup?
Yeah, you know, I think I heard Coach Venable say it before. I think we have tendencies, they have tendencies. You know, we have things that we do well, they have things that they do well. And, you know, we just got to pit those things as we see fit. And I think as far as timing, you know, the closer proximity to the last game, I don't know if that really gives you an advantage or not. I certainly think it probably makes the picture potentially a little clearer than maybe earlier in the season. And then certainly personnel-wise, I think you know probably what's going on at this point.
Going to the far right side of Charlie.
Yeah, Coach, just what have you seen from Josh Cuevas in practice in terms of what he's been able to do and how big would it be to get him back for your offense?
Yeah, Josh has been a huge part of the offense all year. So, you know, for us, just, you know, in the run game, pass game, you know, everything he can do is critical. You know, we've missed him, his leadership, you know, and his presence on the field for sure. And just playmaking ability, catching the ball, breaking tackles after he gets the football, which he certainly did, you know, last time against Oklahoma. So he's been looking great, and we're excited to have him back out there.
Got a question in the back row on the far left there.
Hey, Coach, last time against Oklahoma, you said you were going to change up the offensive signs and signals. Did you ever feel like Venables kind of knew what was coming or picked up on any of the signs that were new in the first meeting?
I think that those guys that are, you know, working signals eventually get them during the course of a football game. So you have to have measures, you know, throughout the game to try to combat that. And I thought, yeah, there was times where you certainly thought there were some of those things that they had gotten. I didn't feel like it affected anything or got us to the point where, you know, we weren't making a play because of that. And we, you know, we huddled quite a bit as well. So some of that's, you know, kind of irrelevant.
Go to Will on the left side saying,
Coach, what do you want to see from the offensive line in this matchup against Oklahoma? Gave up 4 sacks last time, whether that be personnel-wise or just in general, whether it's run game, pass game, and all that.
Elite communication. The best communication they've had all year. That's what it's going to come down to, because in the first game, they did a good job of that. We had 2 negative yardage runs, which were actually gains of 0. We talked about that before. The sacks came on lack of communication, and, you know, one of them really was – probably Ty could have got out of his hand, but you know, ultimately for us, it's just going to come down to those guys communicating and everybody being on the same call. If half the line's on one call, the other half's not, that's where your problems happen. That's where sacks and problems in the A and B gap happen. So just elite communication.
Got a question from Emily Grace, second row.
Hey, Coach, we've heard about how this added rest and time to reset, get everyone's bodies right, has paid off from Ty. What are you seeing that's indicating that the team is heading in the right direction as they go into OU this weekend?
I think anytime you're in a game prep and you feel like the attention to detail, the execution and practice is continuing to climb, you're feeling pretty confident the guys are getting in the right spot to play. And certainly this week, I've seen that every single day, including today at practice, where the level of detail and, you know, just how hard they're working out there, honestly, like the actual output, you can tell they're ready to get back on the field for Friday.
Got a follow-up from Nick on the front right.
Yeah, you found ways to get Ryan Williams involved with some short stuff and use his athleticism. In lieu of giving us the game plan, how can you build on what he did in the SEC championship game?
I mean, I think all the guys that are, you know, touch players that you can get the ball in space, certainly Ryan is that kind of guy. Now you got to have all the compliments that go with it. He certainly is a guy that can hurt you down the field as well. And those are the things you got to try to, you know, paint the picture for the defense of what you want to do and where you're going to get the football. But Ryan can get it now at the line of scrimmage in the backfield. He can get it down the field on a post route. So those are the things that, you know, the intermediary routes and things like that. I feel like, you know, Ryan, when he's playing his best, is in all those positions.
All right, great stuff there from Ryan Grubb. It's 9:28 here on the Gary Harris Show. Hey, if you're struggling with your fitness level, get into the YMCA. They can help you out. First of all, you have to help yourself, obviously, but they've got personal training that is second to none. It's top-notch. They've got the equipment. They've got the different workout classes. They've even got those 2 pickleball courts. Got everything, really. Just the only thing that's missing is you. So get by and see them at the Y, 2300 13th Street downtown. The Y is ready for you. When you're ready for the Y, find out more. YMCATuscaloosa.org. We'll be back with Bart Heitz on Hoops next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Santa knows that we're God's children. That makes everything right. Fill your hearts with Christmas cheer. Cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Oh, well, here comes
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours.
Can help you with the protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate. Are you in good hands? 248-0303.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and
Image Rack and Reel, Cypress Supply, Banks and Company Hardware, Stephen Fikes Allstate, B&B Transmission, Primetime Men's Clinic, South's Finest Roofing, and Cajun Bistro.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
Then to have a world party on the day you came to be.
9:33. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And we bring back Heich on Hoops. And it just happens to be Bart Heich's birthday. So how about that? And he's up in Nashville celebrating. But hopefully I hadn't celebrated too much. He's going to be able to. Well, we caught you at the right time. We caught you early. So maybe by tonight, you might not be able to do any radio. But for right now, you're good to go. Right, Bart?
Yeah, Home Chop House doesn't open until 11 a.m., Gary. So you're perfect on your timing.
Yeah, there we go. Happy birthday. What is this for you about?
Thank you. Man, it's a big one. It's a big one. It's a big
5-0,
man.
Oh, man. I tell you what. I remember when I turned 50, that was the first one that kind of 40 didn't bother me at all. 50 was the first one that hit me. It's like, oh, boy, you know, we're getting into the next phase. Of course, now I'm in my 60s, so I want to go back to 50. But happy birthday, buddy. Man, there's so much to unwrap here as we have you on for the first time this season. And I want to do some big picture stuff before we, you know, specifically talk about certain teams, including Alabama. Some of these SEC schools have played brutal schedules. Some haven't. But regardless, you know, we see Vanderbilt at 10-0. We see Georgia at 9-1. We see LSU at 9-1. And then we see teams like Alabama with 3 losses, Auburn with 3 losses, Kentucky with 4 losses, Florida with 4 losses. So, you know, let's keep it in perspective. These non-conference records, it's harder to gauge because some teams have not played as difficult schedules as others, right?
100% correct. Similar to football in some senses. Ole Miss and Missouri, among others, didn't play the schedule that Alabama played. Didn't play the schedule that Georgia played. Didn't play the schedule that Mississippi State played in football. So, like it, you know, this is non-conference, though. And so, I just think after last year, we're still recency biased by the success in the offseason and how many teams got in the tournament. I mean, that's still lingering. This is not that same year by any means. I don't even know if there's the great team in the league overall. And there were 2 or 3 great teams last year. And the league's good, but it's too early to know what LSU is. Vandy, I'm a believer in. Georgia, I'm a believer in. But tested, to your point, no. I don't think some of the teams are nearly as tested as others. Alabama and Auburn, I mean, their schedule is kind of a mirror image of itself. But it's just been – have you ever seen Alabama play a schedule?
Not like this one. They've played some good ones. They've really played some good ones, specifically since Oates got here. But this year it seems like every time they tip it up, man, they're going against one of the best teams in the country for the most part.
Well, and it's and I know we'll get into this in a minute. College basketball has evolved into – and this is what's hurt Alabama and Auburn is you've got to be able to protect the basket with multiple bigs. With verticality, with making guards finish over you with all the space because it's so wide open. The game is just, you know, it's not it's physical of a game anymore from post-to-post combat, if that makes sense. And I worry about Alabama, and I worry about Auburn on the interior, just the night in, night out that you're going to have to face in the SEC because when they have struggled in these games they've lost, Gary, it's been when they've gotten pounded on them.
Well, let's go there because it has been. And again, I you know preface my comments by saying, you know, it's easy to say you got exposed, but you know a lot of people get exposed against Gonzaga and Purdue and Arizona. I mean, that's the reality of playing great teams, as you alluded to. So, but it's the same. You're right. It's the same formula. When Alabama loses a game, it seems like it's against, you know, big physical teams. You know, usually they're experienced. And Alabama just can't over 40 minutes match up with them inside, like as you were alluding to, and that's where I'm going with this because you're a basketball guy, you played at this level. I hear Coach Oates say it, you know. I compare it to football when you hear fans say, "Well, Alabama's got to run the ball, can't run the ball," and you know, but you got to be committed to running the ball. I mean, you got to say this is what we're going to do, and this is the way we build our offense. And you can't just expect to go out there and run the ball if that's not who you are. I see the same thing with rebounding. I mean, you play four out and one in. I don't, you know, I try to watch to see how many guys are getting to the glass, but a lot of times, you know, those perimeter guys are smaller guys. And, you know, they put Sherrill in there, who's a nice athlete, good shot blocker, but is not a really a dominant rebounder. You see where I'm going with this. I mean, it's easy to say, well, we need to rebound better, but are you built to rebound better when you play those types of teams? And I'm not sure that Alabama is, Bart.
You know, I know this sounds, not a lot of people would have probably off this, but you know, the loss of Diabate.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely hurts. I mean, he mixed it up. Yeah.
There's no Bediako in there to block shots. There's no – look at the teams you mentioned, Gary. Gonzaga, Purdue, Arizona, Iowa State, Michigan, Tennessee, Florida will be there. Their guards are going to end up figuring it out. They're not going to be the backcourt they were last year. But all those teams that I mentioned, the three that you mentioned, you know what they've got in common? Multiple bigs.
That's right.
That they throw at you. Dwayne Brown is going to be one of the best post players in the SEC this year by mid-SEC season from Hooper. And he's not even getting minutes. He's just now getting minutes. First start last night. Best freshman we've had come out since Cousins in the state of Alabama. And he's not getting minutes until Kate Phillips gets hurt and is out for the season. So, like, the bigs, I'm going to leave it at this, Gary. What basketball has turned into, all these teams have that in common. It's the Alabama and Georgia offense and defensive line. They're stacked. They're stockpiling that talent. They figured that out. They're going stockpiling that talent. And there's not – the bigs are premium. And if you miss on a big and spend a bunch of money in your NIL, then you're really in trouble. So, the game's changed, and – it's going to continue to be an issue for Alabama all year, unfortunately. I mean, you're going to make a lot of shots, win a lot of games. But there's going to be times, because you saw how quickly it can get out of hand when you can't rebound. That game the other night against Arizona, Gary, looked like one of those high school games I call to win one team about midway through the third quarter. Just physically cannot compete on the glass anymore. And the game just gets away from you. And that's the problem. I mean, it's worrisome, but the team is still good. I just don't think I see the pieces on the interior, you know, to maybe take it as deep. Right now, somebody may emerge. You know, Nato's can coach now. So I'm not – but I just – it's been a problem. And so what your eyes are not lying to you when you see the deficiencies on the interior for Alabama.
Mark, you said something, though, and I think you're right. I think they have a chance to improve. They've had a lot – because they've had so many guys out, and that's another question. I mean, you know, it's like I go to a game, and I'm like, well, you ever have your entire roster available? But, you know, four or five guys in street clothes until this past Saturday night against Arizona. Now, because of that, they played a lot of different people. Here we are. It's December 17th, and again, I'm with you. Coach Oates knows what he's doing. I'm not questioning him. I'm just saying, though, you're December 17th. You know, you're 10 games in, and you don't know – you don't have a rotation. I mean, it's anybody's guess from game to game. Bart, who's going to play, and how many guys are going to play? And I think you have to get to the point now with conference play right around the corner. You got to come up with your 9-man rotation and be ready to go for SEC. You can't just keep playing 12, 13 guys in different matchups and lineups every time out, can you?
I mean, when you're searching. I mean, it's not just Alabama where that's going on at, where it's always a different mix. Who's getting the minutes? You know, you may have a guy start and play 8 minutes, and you know, it's just kind of a – the one thing that concerns me, yeah, I think you have to do that, definitely. Now, when you're healthy, I still think Reitzel is the most underrated player in the country when he's healthy that nobody talks about all the things that he does.
Right.
But when he and Holloway and LeBaron are healthy, it's the best backcourt in the SEC now. There ain't nobody going to really be able to argue a lot with me about that when they're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was necessarily bad that you got some of the talented freshmen and some of the guys that came in minutes here and there. But, yeah, you've got to get this rotation right. Decide if it's going to be all four out, one, how's it going to be. I like them five out at times. I think you're going to see some SEC teams, Alabama, Mississippi State included, run a lot of five out type stuff.
Wow.
Because of the deficiencies and get those bigs out.
Right.
Alabama, that's good. You just got to make shots.
Mm-hmm. That's the key.
But getting healthy, Alabama has not been healthy. And so I think you'll see that push. I haven't looked at the SEC schedules yet to kind of give my first five game, who will be there at the top and who schedules are a big deal too. So injuries and schedules, man. And then we're going to be in the meat of the season here next month.
Alabama gets South Florida tonight. Brian Hodson, the old former assistant, and they're finding their way a little bit. One thing I did notice, they're sixth in the country in offensive rebounding. So, Alabama has not been as good an offensive rebounding team since he left. I mean, you can look at the numbers. So even though Alabama should win the game, I looked at that and I was like, oh boy, they're gonna pound the glass or try to on Alabama tonight. So it might not be the complete blowout that many are expecting.
It'll be like a rivalry game. You know, it's personal. Even though a lot of the players don't. I mean, some of the players know Coach Hodson well. I got to do their games last year, South Alabama versus Arkansas State. Brought a couple of guys with him. I really like Pinion for Arkansas State. Can really, really shoot it, man. And he just does a lot of little things. Alabama will have to get out on him. I think he's number five. He can get hot in a hurry. It'll be just like I said, a personal rivalry type game to where Alabama's got to not turn the ball over too. That kind of rears its head here and there. But you got to be careful with someone that knows your system, help develop your system, knows where the weaknesses are. I think tonight, I don't think Alabama loses the game, but I think you're looking at somewhere around an 8-10 point game. Finishing up that. A lot of respect involved, but Alabama has just got to, you said it, Gary, they got to figure out who they are, as a rotation, as a personnel, because you got the best all-around guard in the SEC handling the ball most of the time, right? I think he handles it too much. And with all this verticality, I think he can, and a lot of guys can score in the in-between game. I think you may start seeing him do something. Where they're shooting some of those in-between shots. Some guys have green lights, some don't. But Alabama has got to be able to protect the basket. That's the biggest thing to me tonight and moving forward, and that's collectively. Because the guards have to rebound too, and that can be done. But there's just – it's early, man. We talk about all these things. I can't say it better than you said it, though. They have 100% got to figure out who's going to play and how much.
Hi, Sean Hoops with us. All right, let's talk about some of these other teams and that are trying to find their way. Nobody more so than Kentucky. Now, they beat Indiana, which was a nice win for them. But I've watched a couple of their games. Boy, and it's just been a Chinese fire drill. And, Mark Pope was a very popular hire. They were ready to get rid of Cal. We'll get to Arkansas in a moment. Maybe careful what you wish for. But, Kentucky's got an NIL payroll up there with anybody in the country. And, I watched some of the Indiana game, and they look better. I mean, they just look better. But, early in the year, man, it's they've had some games where I was like, what the heck are they doing? What's your impression of Kentucky early?
I don't think they're very good.
Yeah, I don't either.
On the national level, like after the first time I saw them, I don't think that Indiana team very good. The way that Coach DeVries and his son have bounced to three jobs and ended up in Indiana, I think Tucker DeVries is really good, but like at Indiana. But I don't think he's. I'm just not seeing NBA. He hasn't developed in what everybody the potential that you see.
Yeah, Indiana fans wish they had Dusty May. I promise you that.
And the Engel kid that came from Drake is a good player, but he's not a big time Big Ten point guard. I'm not that sold on that Indiana win at my point. And Kentucky doesn't have the explosive, I can go get my shot anytime I want to score. They don't have that. I think they're middle of the road, best case scenario. And Kentucky fans are not going to be happy at all with this. I mean, this is supposed to be just, all right, we'll sit back and put this thing on cruise, 2016, easily and what have you. Right now, Gary, from what you've seen, do you think that's a 500 team in the SEC?
Maybe.
That's about what I think it is.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's glass half full, brother.
Yeah, it feels like they just, it's one of those deals in the NIL era. Well, you know what? We're Kentucky. We got to spend a lot of money. So they just threw a lot of money and at people and didn't really take into account, a roster and construction and all the things that you need to do. It's like you talked about Mo Diabate. Alabama misses him, but he has not, you know, lately played a bit better, but they haven't really, you know, found a role for him. They got a bunch of guys that don't really have a role, it looks like, when you watch that team play. But it's up to Mark Pope to figure it out.
Here's the thing, too, and it goes into kind of the other teams and other rosters. And it's so much about keeping guys happy when you get them there, more than getting them there now, to me. Whether it's money, whether it's playing time, it's happened with Chris Beard. It's happened with Chris Jan. It's happened with Nate Oates. It's happened with Mark Pope. There's one common word that keeps popping up in these press conferences that nobody wants to talk about in this NIL era, and that's effort. Effort. These teams are not playing lights out hard to me. Alabama's playing as hard as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky don't play hard. They're soft. And, like, I'm not saying there's a direct connection, but there's not many times this early. You just – four SEC coaches talking about effort – that there may be a link with that. And, you know, just how basketball has changed, how you have to coach kids, how you have to, well, I'm getting paid. So, I mean, like, you know, is he not going to play me? He's not. I'm saying it goes on.
Right.
But it just, it makes my antenna go up when I've heard four coaches talk about effort at those programs. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. All right.
He's got a problem with it.
Yeah, okay, we can't hit on every team, but since I brought up Kentucky and mentioned Cal, Arkansas's look good from what I've seen. Again, I haven't watched them every game, but boy, they got a nice roster and they look a pretty good team to me.
Yeah, I'll give you my I love Georgia. I love Tennessee. I think Arkansas could be the best team in the league by the end of the year. Wagner's not even really doing a whole lot right now for them, but Brazil, Gary, has come
to
far.
Amazing.
He may be the best player, best NBA, highest level draft pick in the SEC when we're all done. He has grown. Cal, man, I got to get off Cal, man. He coached the other night. That game, they beat Louisville. Man, he wore Kelsey out. And they're good. I love them. Like I said, I love Vandy. I think the league's going to be very competitive. Both Mississippi teams have struggled and will struggle throughout the course of the year. It'll be interesting to see, you know, both of those teams, Chris Beard and Chris Jans, how they. I just don't think the talent level is what it was last year in this league for a lot of teams across the board.
Right,
but
I don't either.
These coaches can coach though. But we're sitting here right now, and if you give me Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Vandy, and Tennessee, that's the top five I'd roll with right now.
Wow, because I have not watched much of Georgia, and you're so high on them. I guess I need to pay more attention because I just still can't wrap my arms around Georgia being a top four or five team in this league, so I got to watch them more.
Yeah, they look good at the right time, too. A lot of those games have been at home, but they've got length. And, Gary, they've got what Alabama had back with Herb Jones. And I can't remember who they've got three left-handed guys.
Hmm.
And it's weird to watch, but this is the best team Michael White's had.
Okay.
By far. So, yeah, they're a surprise. And Byington quietly's got it going up here in Nashville, man. They're fun to watch. And I think they look like a Sweet 16, one of those old Sweet 16 Vandy teams like Jan Van Bredekoff or Kevin Stallings.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I think the league's going to be fun this year. And I just there'll be better times ahead, I think, for my Bulldogs. The loss of Keyshawn Murphy.
Yeah, that hurt.
Absolutely killer. And then Chole turned his knee up, our seven-footer that had come so far. We just don't have anything on him.
Was Murphy just a case of they just stayed? Couldn't match the NIL, or did they try, or what happened there? Because he was in a good situation.
Had nothing to do with money.
Okay.
He wasn't happy, and he's as happy as he can be right now, or happy as I've ever seen him. I'm close to the kid. Went and watched him play a couple of weeks ago down at Auburn, and he's got a smile on his face that, you know, that unfortunately I never saw in Starkville. And, you know, but he's – that's the situation, even though it's close to my heart. It didn't work out, obviously, the way I wanted it to. It worked out so good for the kid, and he's so happy, and he's thriving in that environment. So, yeah, but there hasn't really been a money situation, to my knowledge, at State. Most of the SECs, you know, I'm telling you, I think most of the teams in the league have money. I think it's about when you get them there, keeping them there, like Mark Sears, Spilin. You know, I mean, these guys want to be at Alabama. And so that's a whole other dynamic of re-recruiting that we have to do now. You know, everybody.
Yeah.
But it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch my guy Murph in orange and blue. I can tell you that.
All right, real quickly, we're up against the clock. I agree with you. I don't think the talent level in the SEC is quite what maybe it's been. You mentioned some teams. Best bet, or let's say best bets, two or three teams that you think are the best bets to make a Final Four from the SEC.
Ooh. Tennessee. I don't like saying that. Two teams?
Yeah, give me a couple. Give me one more. Tennessee and who else?
As of right now, Arkansas.
Okay. Yeah, I like Arkansas too. They look.
I need to look at these schedules.
Yeah, absolutely.
And check them out. But I will have that done for you the next time you have me out.
Well, enjoy your birthday, my friend, and good to have you back on the radio. And we'll talk again next week. Well, maybe not next week. We'll talk again soon. Let's say that. Been on the holiday schedule.
Go out to Norman and shock the world, Roll Tide.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Bama does not need to lose to the same team three times in 13 months. That doesn't need to happen. I'm just going to tell you, Mark.
Wow.
Think about that. Thanks, man.
Wow, I don't think I've ever heard that in the same sentence.
Well, you haven't, but it could happen on Friday night. See you, buddy. Thanks. Happy birthday.
See you, man.
All right, 9:54. We'll come back and wrap it up right after this.
Your flagship home. Alabama sports. The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs. Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear.
Magical season yet. Step into the holidays, check off everything on your list, and save big on your last-minute gifts. Only at Target. Restrictions apply.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy
hour for just $40. There's no limit on the value you can add. De-stress your shopping. Visit Blogo on Jack Warner Parkway or at Blogo Salon Med Spa.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 59. Becoming cloudy tonight, the chance of a shower after midnight, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy, occasional showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm during the day, the high 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Oh, my.
Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:59. Quick note that I did not mention in the first hour. It was a return to an old rivalry last night in Montgomery. The IS4S Salute to Veterans Bowl had Jack State taking on Troy. What a football game. Defensive struggle in this one. Cam Cook, the nation's leading rusher, was out for Jacksonville State with an injury, but the Gamecocks had a fourth-quarter touchdown to beat Troy 17-13. Of course, these two longtime bitter rivals years ago in their days in the Gulf South Conference. Big game for Montgomery last night. Jack State gets the win for their ninth win of the season. All right, that's going to do it for the first hour. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two is on the way. We're going to have Larry the Music Man coming up at 10:30. We'll hear from Alabama defense coordinator Kane Womack, and I've got a special programming note to tell you about for Friday coming up in the second hour.
Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet, jingle up around the clock, mix and a mingle in the jingling feet, that's the jingle bell rock.
Jingle bell, jingle bell rock, jingle bell chime and jingle bell time, dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lohengrin.
In the NBA Cup Championship game on Tuesday night, the New York Knicks defeated the San Antonio Spurs 124-113. Spurs led 94-89 after three quarters, but the Knicks outscored them in the fourth quarter 35-19. OG Anunoby led the Knicks with 28 points. The NBA concluded Tuesday that officials made three incorrect calls in the final 2 minutes of Denver's overtime win on Monday against Houston. All three incorrect calls went Denver's way, prompting Rockets head coach Ime Udoka to say of the officials,
"It's poorly officiated game I've seen in a long time. Two have no business being out there, and the crew chief is acting starstruck."
Notre Dame junior running back Jeremiah Love announced on
Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timmerson Square.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's do this. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show, hour number two here on the Big Tide, 100.9 FM at 1230 AM, WTBC. Gary Harris and Chase Brumfield with you for the next hour. And we've got Larry the Music Man coming up at 10:30 with a Christmas theme. I want to go ahead, Chase, and do a programming note because I'm excited about this. Friday night, of course, is the game, Alabama and Oklahoma, college football playoff first-round game out in Norman. That morning, I'm going to be live at Decades Pub and Grub. Now, they open at 11, but much like when we're at Innisfree, we're going to be there at 9, but there's a little twist on this one. Cliff Clark, the owner of Decades, has said, you know what? If you want to come by Decades, we're going to open the doors at 9 for Gary's show, and we're going to be serving free breakfast burritos. How about that? Free breakfast burritos Friday at Decades Pub and Grub. And that's right there at Timmerson Square, 2300 14th Street. Or 2314 4th Street. Right there at Timmerson Square. Right there with Brick and Spoon and Tanning Oasis and down there by the Rhythm and Brews. If you haven't been to Decades, it's unbelievable. But I'm going to be live there Friday morning to kick off the game day atmosphere at Decades Pub and Grub, 9 to 11. I want all my folks that love to come out when I was broadcasting this season at Innisfree to come on down to Decades. There'll be plenty of parking available since it's a, you know, Friday morning. And I guarantee you, knowing the food there, which I love. By the way, tonight is their Nan's Pizza night. And I'll be going there after the news to get that Nan's Pizza, which is incredible, by the way. So you want to stop by tonight if you can, too. But Friday morning, free breakfast burritos. Now, Cliff told me he won't be making coffee. So if you want some coffee, you got to bring it. But there will be, you know, soft drinks and all available. But get on by Friday morning. We're going to have some fun. And we're going to talk Bama football, Oklahoma. And by the way, Gary Stokin is, you know, Peach Bowl CEO, is going to join me on the program on Friday morning. But I'll be live at Decades beginning at 9 a.m. until 11 a.m., and then they'll open for public business at 11. But basically, they're open to the public anyway. I mean, just at 9. Like I said, just come on by. Let's have some fun that morning. That's a cool place. It'll be an opportunity if you've never been to see it. That's Friday morning at 9 a.m. All right, 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you want to join us here on the program. Let's talk with our pal Philip here on the Gary Harris Show Hotline. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Gary, I appreciate you taking my call. I just want to make a comment. When you were talking to Bart a minute ago, which was a great interview, I love that. But you said something just right, and I wanted to thank you. And I've been griping about it for a week, about our rebounding. But the way you put it is the way I didn't put it, and that's the way I should have put it. You said that you're not sure, when you were talking to Bart, that Alabama's got the body type for that, and that's all I've been saying all week. I just don't think we've got the body type for it. And people talk about, well, it's all rebound is all about willpower and wanting to and desire and all that. Yeah, it is, but you got to have a body type that helps.
Yeah, I definitely think that having guys that are bangers. I did get a text from you know, Kerry that listens to the show, and he said two counterpoints. Sherrill protects the rim fine. He didn't have a lot of block shots, and a healthy Bristow is every bit what Mo D was and probably better. So we'll see on those two how that holds up. I would like to see Bristow get healthy. The thing about Mo D Abate to me, Phillip, was, you know, he's only about 6'7". Mm-hmm. But like you said, he had that real physical build, muscular, and he was careless. And what I mean by that, reckless. I mean, he just getting there, and he didn't care if he were 7 feet tall. He just getting there and get after the ball. He would bang with people. And I'm with you. I haven't seen through 10 games Alabama have a willingness to get in there and really mix it up. So I'm with you. I don't know. You know, the big freshman, Collins Onjiaka, I don't know if he was, you know, how much he would have played, but he's out for a health related issue for now, but he's about 260 pounds, so maybe he would have been the guy. And but no, I'm with you, man. I keep hearing the same thing every time they play one of these type teams, that we got to rebound better, we got to rebound better, we got to rebound better. Well, what are you doing to fix it? I mean, you know, I don't know. Well, you know, like I said, one thing about South Florida, they're going to come in here tonight, sixth in the nation in offensive rebounding. So we'll see if Alabama does better job against the Bulls.
That's right. And, you know, they score about 88 points a game. It's not like they're dead weight. I mean, they know how to put the ball in the hole. I think Alabama will win the game. But, you know, they're going to have to show up a different Alabama. And I'm still salty about that Arizona loss and the way that panned out in the last 24 minutes of that
game.
Well,
let me ask you this. What did you think about, because after the game, Coach Oates was obviously frustrated. And they asked him about taking a timeout, and he said, well, what am I supposed to do, take a timeout to tell them to play harder? I mean, it was like, no, maybe take a timeout just to kind of slow the momentum of Arizona. I mean, it got away from them, and I'll be honest with you. Like I said, next game I coach is my first, and I understand Coach Oates is one of the best in the business, but I see coaches all the time just call a timeout just to kind of stop the run for a second. I was surprised he didn't take a timeout. Were you?
I'm under the impression that that's what that's for. I mean, it's not to tell them your team a whole lot of anything. The majority of that is to stymie the incredible momentum that Arizona had. And the thing about it, the other thing about it, aside from coaching and all that mess, Gary, is I just kind of felt bad for the fans. They were sitting there, you know, pay good money to travel from distances to go watch that game, and it was the latest heck tip-off, but I just felt like if he'd have stymied it just a little bit, you know, it might have been hey guys, let's put a better product out here for the rest of the game and just do our best. But he didn't do it, and it was just an incredible avalanche of whatever.
Philip.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I lost you there for a second.
No, it was just an incredible avalanche.
It was. And the desire not to just let your team play through that, I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. But listen, I trust Oates. He's proven that, you know, he's a Final Four caliber coach. And I do think Alabama's going to get better. That's the good news. You know, talking with Bart, I'm with Bart. I'm with you. Right now, what I see from them is not a Final Four caliber team, but I think they could become one and get guys healthy, get this rotation narrowed down. And as you said, find some guys that, you know, you don't have to be 7 feet tall. You know, you just find some guys that want to get in there and mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think so too, Gary. But anyway, I just wanted to sort of thank you for the way you turned that. You were very simple and to the point. It's just, you know, body type helps. And it's not the main thing, but body type does help. I don't care what anybody says.
Hey, thank you, Philip.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, let's get to Tom. What's up, Sheriff?
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing well.
You know, I agree with Philip about how you have been. You know, this goes back a few weeks about the rebounding and did we recruit to the tight body that would be able to get in there and mix it up, as you say. And you know, you made that point early on, and we're all fearful when we look on the opposing team while they warm it up. We see those broad, thick shoulders and big arms and everything that always put fear in our in the fans ever since Coach Oates got here, because we're not that type of team. You know what I mean? And that's been stated many times on this show. But, you know, I would say to Coach about those timeouts, Coach is strategy. The timeout, that is strategy, and you have got to use it. Now, your strategy against Arizona was run to the scorer's table and jump on the referees and get a review of a foul. That was his strategy in that game. I think he was pissed off about the way things were going in that game. I saw us unraveling with 2 minutes left in the first half. I knew where that game was going. And he saw it before that, and he ran to the scorer's table, and he decided that was going to be his strategy to interrupt the game, to try to change the flow and everything else. I wouldn't have done it that way. He's smarter than I am in basketball. I can't argue with it. It is a strategy, though. And then last night I want to talk to you about, rarely do you see Coach Curry make a mistake in her strategy of the game, and she almost did it last night, and it worried me that it happened like it did. And it's when she chose to substitute early in the game. We were on a heck of a run, and we were fixing to bury that team, and she substituted, and it kind of got sideways there for a little bit. However, we were so much better than the team, Sam Houston, that it didn't really bother us. It just bothered me, though, her decision-making process in that game by substituting when she did. And if it had been against somebody really good, it could have cost us a victory.
Well, you know, you'd rather, if you're going to have those issues, you'd rather get through with the win. But I know what you're saying, Tom. There's a lot of subtle things that coaches do and moves that coaches make or don't make that impact the game. And that's why they're coaches. That's why they're given that responsibility. And I'm with you. Listen, no coach is perfect. And I think, you know, sometimes I sell myself short because I love to say, well, I'm not a coach. But that doesn't mean that we don't see things sometimes. And sometimes coaches make mistakes.
Well, here's the thing. I don't mean that to be, you know, to run them down or anything. You know, it's all right to get on your show and say, this is what we saw, just like Philip and the rebound. He's been on that for a while, and I agree with it. And I agree with your terminology on it. It was well stated. But, you know, that's our right to get on here and say, I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have done it this way. And then we go back and forth, you know, about why not. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that was two things that stood out to me, Coach Oates. I've never seen anybody employ that kind of strategy at the scores table before in basketball. But I swear I believe that he was doing that either to motivate his team or to work the officials because of the advantage Arizona had in the middle.
Yeah, I could see that. I see your line of thinking there. I do, Tom. So, well, anyway, I hope tonight that thank you, Tom. I hope tonight that they get on the bat more with South Florida. And, I mean, I expect them to win the game. Hey, go ahead.
Vanderbilt killed South Florida Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alabama's going to win the game. I just want to see how they hit the boards. Hey, phone calls are backing up. Thank you, Tom. I tell you what we're going to do. We got George and Macon. We got Dan in Hattiesburg first up, then George and Macon, then Garfish. We want to get to all you guys, so we're going to go ahead and take our break, and then we'll have plenty of time for phone calls in the next segment. We got Larry the Music Man. If we don't get to Kane Womack, that's just the way it goes. Hey, also, I need to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health. If you're a man and you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. Why not get that support? At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. It's a simple three-step plan. Step one, complete intake and simple blood work. Get results in 15 minutes. Meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health. Step three, begin your customized treatment plan. All the consultations are free. Get by and see them at 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. Get back in the game. If you're a man and you're not feeling your best, you can do something about it. They specialize in testosterone health, ED treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. Again, get by Game Day Men's Health and get back in the game. All right, we're going to come back with a bunch of phone calls in the next segment. We're going to get to Dan in Hattiesburg, George in Macon, and Garfish next here on the Gary Harris Show.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. Businessman Stan Payne has achieved the backing of the City Council's Finance Committee for redeveloping the tornado-destroyed Leland Shopping Center site.
As bad as the tornado was, it created an opportunity for Alberta City to renew.
Pete says he believes in Alberta. Tuscaloosa Toys for Tots distributed.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to mylocalcustomers.com today.
That's mylocalcustomers.com. Mylocalcustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm up today, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 59. Becoming cloudy tonight, the chance of a shower after midnight, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy, occasional showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm during the day, the high 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 49 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team.
The best sports talk in the state.
Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year.
All right, 10:22, breaking news from the NFL, and it's not news that I'm happy to have to report. The Dolphins are benching quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Rookie Quinn Ewers out of Texas will start on Sunday for the Dolphins. And Tua is due $54 million fully guaranteed in 2026. But regardless of that, his future with the Dolphins now clearly up in the air. This comes after a Monday night loss in Pittsburgh where for the first half, Tua was bad. He did in the fourth quarter lead that team to a couple of touchdowns, and I thought there was a little bit of juice there, but a lot of criticism has come his way for the way he acted after the game. There's a video of him on the field with former teammate Jalen Ramsey, kind of laughing it up and It just doesn't feel like it's working right now with Tua with the Dolphins. So he is being benched in Miami. All right, we got phone calls. As I said, we're going to get them in order in which they came in. Dan in Hattiesburg. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
Doing well.
Let's go ahead and get the elephant out of the room first off. Folks really think that this Alabama's finished and this is what we got. But no, we're still trying to build a team. And you take the tough losses and you... And you got to take your medicine, and Oates needs, and Oates is trying to find out who's willing to take the medicine, take the tough losses, and get better. And right, you know, that was a hard game, but you know he find, you know you got to show me that you want to get out there and bang, do the hard things, play the defense, and play tough.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys aren't there yet. That doesn't mean that they're not going to, you know, but they need to be there in March. That's what we're trying to build.
That's fair. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so people, you know, it's not, you know, the sky's not falling on them. So y'all just need to settle down and just, you know, take a step back and enjoy the and watch the team develop. And it's just, you know, I know people like to fuss and cry, but, you know.
Oh, I don't think anybody's fussing and crying. I just think they're pointing out that they're getting, when they play big physical teams, they're getting hammered on the boards. I mean, that's not fussing and crying. That's just reality. And you know, you have to start fixing that. And I agree with you. It is a work in progress. They've had a lot of different guys in and out of the roster, but, I mean, even the coaches said it. I mean, you got to be able to rebound if you're going to win. You know, Arizona got 28 more shots the other night, Dan. I mean, you're not going to beat anybody when they get 28 more field goal attempts than you. I mean, that's just.
Well, hopefully these guys took the lesson, took the medicine, and understand that, and swallowed that bitter pill. And it, you know, fuels them to do what they need
to
be able to play. That way is what I'm trying to do.
Okay, well, that's fair, and I hope I'm with you. I hope that they continue to develop some inside guys that are going to get in there and bang around, because they're a talented team. Well, you know, let's be clear on that. This is still a really good team, as you're saying. It's just you, because he's elevated the program, you start thinking about, you know, who do you need to beat to get to the Final Four, that type of thinking. And those type of teams are who you're going to have to beat, and Alabama's got to get better on the backboard. But I'm with you. I think they can get better. That's the good news about it. They're just 10 games in. Hey, great call, Dan. Good to hear from you. Make sure you call back.
Let me say one more thing right before we go.
Go.
Congratulations to Patrick Nix. He's a kind of a hometown boy for me. He played at Southern Miss along with Kane Womack. I'm proud to see those guys in there, and hoping for the best. I think they're a great, great addition to the staff.
Yeah, I like Derek Nix a lot. I think it's a good hire. Thank you, Dan.
Take care, brother.
Appreciate you, man. All right, let's get to George and Macon, and then we'll get to Garfist. Hey, George.
Hey, man, Gary. How you doing today?
Doing well.
A couple of quick statements. What will fix a lot of the rebound differentials if we don't have as many turnovers?
Gotta help. Remember, absolutely.
Yeah. We were 2 points ahead. And I mean, I don't even know who they were throwing it to. We had 5 or 6 turnovers. What that does is it puts them in a transition game, and also takes opportunity of rebounds away from us because they're jamming it down our throat. Also, what that also does is take you out of your rhythm and takes you out of your shooting rhythm. So the turnovers are horrible, and if you look in the last couple of years, the games that we've lost, the turnover differential has been horrible. We've had a whole lot more turnovers. I don't know how many we had last week, but I bet it was like 15 or 16 at least, and half of those turned into a transition game for them and took away our speed game and also our rhythm game. So I think that obviously we need to rebound better. But the turnovers is what kills you. You're giving them free possessions where there's no opposition or defense. So they turn them into jams. That's kind of my comments. And what do you think?
I think you're dead on. You're right. I mean, this is a team that, the way they play, that's a big part of it. You're right. I'm glad you pointed that out. The turnovers are killer for this team. They just can't afford to have them. And you're right. And that's something to me. I agree with you. Watching that game the other night, there seemed to be some carelessness. You know, it's one thing sometimes a defense just makes a good play on you, man. A guy jumps in a passing lane or right. He backdoors you for a steal or they slap a ball out. But when you're just careless and lazy passes and you don't seem like
the ball.
Yeah, then that there's no excuse for that. And I do think Coach Oates was really upset after the game the other night. And you know, your call and Dan I think is right too. I think he's probably gotten on them pretty hard since Saturday night. So I'm going to expect, and I'm going to go over for at least the first half of the game. And I expect them to be a lot more intense tonight and be a lot more dialed in. So at least that's what I hope.
I mean, also remember, if you don't have turnovers, and we're a team that depends on good shooting. And if you shoot the ball well, there's no offensive rebounds. You
can't. Oh, that's right. That's where it starts. Yeah.
If you don't, I mean, there are a couple of turnovers. I'm thinking, who in the world are y'all throwing it to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yep, you're dead on. Listen, there are going to be games, as I said before, where Alabama's going to embarrass people. You know, there's a game when they're shooting and those threes are raining down, they can make you look bad. The problem is, and what we're talking about this morning is, you know, when they don't shoot it well, can you get enough second opportunities? Can you get some offensive rebounds to get some second chance shots? And also then on the defensive end,
right,
can you make the other team one and done and not give them? And that's going to be critical for this team. But, yeah, when they shoot it well, they're fun to watch, but there are going to be games when you don't shoot it well, and you got to try to find another way to win. And that's what worries me about this team. Are they good enough defensively? Are they gritty enough? Are they tough enough to find a way to win an ugly game? And so far, I'm not sure that they are. But as Dan pointed out, they've got plenty of time to get it fixed.
You got that right. Well, listen, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, George. Always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll close out the segment with Garfish. Hey, Garfish.
Hey, Gary. I've got a guaranteed a victory Friday night.
Okay.
And it's not an easy thing to do, but I think if Oklahoma starts every drive inside their 35, Alabama wins that game.
No short fields is what you're saying. Don't give them any short fields.
That's right. If they got to drive the field, Alabama's defense is good enough to keep them from doing that. And the one thing I've noticed, and I could be wrong, but it seems to me that as good as Alabama's defense can be, if there's a short field, too often that turns into a touchdown, not just a field goal, but...
No, I'm with you. It has more times than not. It's good. I'm with you. You said it. As good as Alabama's defense has been, when the other team has had a short field, Alabama's had a hard time keeping them out of the end zone. You're right. And we saw it in that Oklahoma game after Ryan Williams had the fumble. I mean, Mateer busted the run. And I'm with you. Listen. And the key there is not to turn it over, but it's also not to give up big plays in special teams. You know, that punt return, you know, that set them up too. And, you know, they took advantage, they being Oklahoma, of every opportunity that they had. And that's why they won the game. And you're right, Alabama can't give up so-called freebies. Make them drive it, make them possess the football over time, and then offensively take care of the ball. Continue to do them. You know, Ty had a good game. Ty had a good game throwing the football, other than the mistakes. So you're right, though, Garfish. I think you got it, man. Make them drive the distance. I'm not sure they're good enough offensively that they're going to take it, you know, 75, 80 yards against you and finish with a touchdown.
That's my thought, Gary. I appreciate you taking my call, but it just occurred to me. I said, yeah, I'm going to share that with somebody.
Well, I appreciate it, Garfish. Good points. Really three good phone calls in that segment. And we got to get to the break, though. We're going to come back with Larry the Music Man, and we're going to have a Christmas music segment. So we'll be back with that right after this break here.
Info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa. Call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well, the Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Bells will be ringing. This sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues.
segment. So please come home for Christmas. Welcomes us back in for the Larry the Music Man segment. He's going to share some stories of being on the road during holidays playing music, and we've got phone calls already lining up as well. So let's get Larry on, and we're going to jump right in. Good morning, Larry. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, brother. Listen, I want the callers to call in today when I get through with my little talk. I want to hear their favorite Christmas, 70s, 80s, 90s, the songs, family time, the good, the bad, and ugly, because the holidays can bring out bad things with families, and especially I kind of went through that, and I'm fixing to get right into it. That song there, I'm going to be honest, I'm 72 years old. I went back out on the road one more time in 1978, and I had already been out there and was never home for Christmas, and I think I sent you a photo of the only Thanksgiving the Rogan family. You said get a haircut, but anyway. So Christmas is bittersweet. This last trip to Joplin, Missouri almost cost my marriage. It was an opening of a club called the Greek Palace, but they changed it to a Roman Palace because they were being sued by some, I guess, mafia figures in St. Louis because it was too close to a casino there. So it was a Roman Palace. And the keyboard player that I played with in Atlanta later in the 80s and did demos and jingles and such, he called me and said, look, you got one left in you. And I said, well, it depends on the money and the traveling. He said, would you be in going to Joplin, Missouri for a month and a half to help a guy get his club on going, and he's going to pay us well. He's going to put us up free. After much discussion with my then wife and threatening to divorce me, but gave me clearance to do it, and my five-year-old son at the time, I said, one more. I'm going to do this because we really needed the money at the time. I'm not going to lie. So we had hooked up with a duo out of Pensacola, Florida called Grandma's Remedy. It was a husband-wife duo. They were fantastic. They were already doing the club thing and had a big following. So Keith, the keyboard player, got them in, and we got a guitar player called Lonesome John out of Augusta, Georgia. And Larry, the bass player with Grandma's Remedy, and his wife, her name was Nevermore. That was her stage name, Nevermore. He played a great bass. And so we go out there and we do our thing. And the only condition I said, we drove out there. That's 14 hours. So I said, as long as I'm home for Christmas, I'll do this. That was agreement in the beginning. So we get out there and open the club. The disco thing had hit heavy in 77. They have a huge disco ball. The club looked like a dadgum casino out of Las Vegas. Plush round tables. Looked like in the Scarface, we're all sitting at this half moon table, you know. And man, I mean, we built a good crowd and we were getting paid real good. And he said, well, if I paid y'all extra, would you stay for Christmas? And I said, no. I said, I promised my 5-year-old son, my oldest son then was 5. I told him I'd be home for Christmas. So after much bickering in the band, the keyboard player and I, which I rode out there with in his van, we hightailed it back to Georgia, and we drove nonstop. We would pull over. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Missouri's pretty rough in the winter, and Tennessee and Arkansas were just as bad. But I did make it home, and saved my marriage for a few more years. And that song there, Please Come Home for Christmas, we learned that, and that song would bring tears to me. I'd be playing this song about early part of December when we first got to going in the club, and I'd have to play that thing with a straight face, and it was very hard, Gary.
Yeah,
and
man.
Also in the 70s, and I'm going to end it here because I don't want to bore people, but in the early 70s, I was never home for Christmas for 5 years. that one Thanksgiving, I had to listen to the Carpenters and Karen make me cry on the road. We couldn't come home because it wasn't feasible, because that was a busy time during the holidays and then New Year's. There was no way we could come home from Davenport, Iowa, Rock
Island,
North.
That's right. You're out making a living. Mm-hmm.
But I listed my songs, and I'll do them later. And if the callers want to call in,
they're backed up for us. So we're going to go ahead and take a few. And I can relate to your story, because being in the TV business, I missed a lot of holidays too. The news goes on. Early in my career, I very rarely ever was off of Christmas or a Thanksgiving, either one. All right, let's get a couple calls here before we have to hit a break. AC is usually wanting to talk some ball, but he wants to talk some music with Larry. Hey, good morning, AC.
Good morning, Mr. Larry, the music man. Thank you so much.
Good morning, sir.
Taking my call. Good morning, sir. You don't have to call me sir. Mr. Music Man, I have a question for you. So what motivated you to get into music? I mean, it could be so many professions, but why music, sir?
Okay, I'll tell you exactly. And I've told this many a time. I was quite a football player and coming up into high school, and I was playing with my garage band at the time, the Lonely Souls. And my passion, I got hurt. I was a fullback and linebacker. Back then you went both ways, and I got injured. They were scrimmaging me with the varsity as a sophomore, and I got really hurt and banged up, and so I chose music, which caused a big ruckus at home. My dad pretty much disowned me. So I got the offer to go on the road with this band that was put together to play military bases across the country, and it goes on from there. But that's pretty much it, brother. I've always loved sports, and I contribute my being in shape. You can look at the photos in the band. You can clearly tell the athletic one. And my legs and arms kept me going all these years. So, yes, sir, that's exactly where it went down.
No problem. So, sir, I appreciate you, and you should get on Mr. Ryan Fowler's show, because, you know, Bama, Nick, and AC, we miss you. So you got to call that show, man, once a week, once every 2 weeks, whichever way you like. Come on. You got to get on the show, man. What's going on with you?
I have to do that, brother.
And you should, because I'll be waiting for your phone calls. Mr. Gary Harris, thank you so much. And wait until Oklahoma chokes out Crimson Tide.
Oh, I knew that. I knew that had to come. I knew he wasn't going to get through a phone call without taking a shot at Alabama. Let's talk. Punch Pat through. He's been waiting for a while. Hey, Pat, you're on with Larry the Music Man. More Bama friendly call here with Pat. I can promise.
Hey, I'm so happy to get to talk to Larry the Music Man. My favorite Christmas singer is probably Dino. Let it snow, let it snow. What did I do, or what we did last summer?
You like the oldies. I was raised with Gene Autry, Here Comes Santa Claus, in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
My daddy played that over and over.
Well, Dino was so, so smooth.
Sure was.
He may have been probably one of the smoothest singers there ever was.
White Christmas with Bing Crosby, but even when he was drunk,
Dino could still sing. You know, that's a great thing to worry about.
Dino Martin.
Yeah, Dino could be. He could be smashed, and he could still pull it off.
Everybody loves somebody sometimes.
Take your time. I want to give y'all a weather report.
Okay.
Weather report for does not look good. We're talking 40, anywhere from low to high 40s, but wind 15 to 25 with higher gust.
Whoa.
Going to make throwing the ball around the court kind of tough.
Yeah, the wind is the thing you worry about, because I think temperature-wise it's not going to be that bad, but you're right. The wind can cause some problems, especially for throwing and kicking. So.
Well, at 40, you get a 20-mile-an-hour wind at 40 degrees. That makes that wind chill bite in the 30s.
Yeah. Well, both teams got to play in it, though, Pat. Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Merry Christmas, Pat.
Larry, have a blessed day. Enjoy your calls, man.
Yeah. Thanks. And thought on that, Larry, is if they play this game on Saturday like they're supposed to, Saturday's a high of 68. with a low just to 39. So Friday, the forecast right now, let me check Weather Channel real quick. Say I don't, the AI forecast sometimes can be a little bit off. Let me check exactly. See what, yeah, let's see here. Friday, it's going to be a high of 59 and a low of 46. So that's not too bad.
That's pretty good.
But Saturday, they're calling for a high of 70.
Wow.
But there is going to be some wind, so you know, gonna have to deal with that. All right, let's take our break, and we'll come back with the second segment for Larry the Music Man. More phone calls to get to. What are your favorite Christmas songs? Feel free to call in 205-342-9904. Larry just shared a great story about being on the road, and as I said, I'm not a musician, but I could relate, especially early in my TV career. I never dreamed about asking to take a holiday off, because it just, you know, and it's tough when you look back and you would have, you know, just like you were saying, Larry, you'd like to spend more time with your family, but it is what it is. We all have to make a living. All right, we'll come back with more for Larry the Music Man right after this.
Customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com, and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar and out.
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
On your list, save now at Kohl's and Kohl's.com. Select styles. Offer ends December 24th. Some exclusions apply. See store Kohl's.com for details.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 59. Becoming cloudy tonight, the chance of a shower after midnight, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy, occasional showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm during the day, the high 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
With the one you love, so won't you tell me.
All right, 10:50, the Larry the Music Man segment. And we got a couple calls. Let's go ahead and make sure we get our calls and punch Tom through, and then we'll get to Ragged Glory. Hey, Tom.
Gary, thanks for letting me call back. Larry, Merry Christmas, my brother.
Tom, I love you, man. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you.
You're a great caller on all the shows, man. You really bring it, and I always like to hear from you on my segment.
Well, thank you. You know, the radio is therapy for me to call in, and Gary's so good about letting you express your opinion, and Barry and Coach, and I love everybody, and I really enjoy radio. I guess that's obvious. But I want to tell you my favorite Christmas. I love choral Christmas music. I like Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky. That's one of my favorites.
Wow.
Waltz of the Flowers is my favorite piece out of that musical. Hallelujah Chorus by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That's one of my favorites. The exuberance that they sing with in that choral group is very moving to me. And I still enjoy, you know, Bing Crosby and the like, Nat King Cole and all of those. I enjoy those, but my favorite are the musicals. London Symphony Orchestra does a great job with Handel's Messiah. But I hope I ain't getting too far off track.
No, man, I'm going to have to think about that today. That is heavy, Tom. That is, I never would have thought that, man. That is deep. I'm going to say a deep. The word deep we use in music, that's heavy. Yeah, I like that.
All right, yeah, Sheriff.
Okay, buddy, thank you.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you. All right, let's get to Punch Ragged Glory through. Hey, Ragged. Ragged.
Good morning.
You're on. Good morning.
Good morning. My heart's full. I just got back home from the hospital. Mama Sunshine Glory is doing good.
Good.
And
awesome.
All the way back, all the classics, everybody who's sung everything. But right now, the one that in my heart is all I want for Christmas is you. And she's going to get to come home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, good deal.
She wants to be home for Christmas, and then physical therapy and all that kind of good stuff will take over from there. I just want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. I love all y'all. Loved every one of the callers. And even AC. Merry Christmas.
We'll be keeping you in our thoughts, brother.
Thank you.
My Elvis song was Blue Christmas, of course, and then Mama Light the Roses. That one brings tears to your eyes there.
Oh, yeah.
You might want to listen to that. That's a good one. It's uplifting.
And, you know, it's not a Christmas song, but my mother's favorite song is Stop and Smell the Roses.
There you go.
And I always have to sing that for her and play it. So, anyways, you all have a blessed day. Are we going to be on the air next week?
We'll be off. I'll be on Monday and Tuesday. Going to be off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So there'll be some schedule configuring, and we'll miss it. But no, we're going to take off Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the day after Christmas.
Right on. You know what?
You spend time with your nieces, Gary. Right?
Oh yeah, I will definitely will.
Family first.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ragged. Good phone call.
Thank you, brother.
So happy that you got positive news there. Larry, we got a couple minutes left. So, again, when you were, cutting your teeth there as a musician, I mean, you had to do what you had to do, but you've kind of laid it out. But I guess, you think of a musician, you're around people, they're coming to see you, they're coming to listen to your music. It's fun, it's uplifting, but then what people don't see is, after the show, like you said, going back to a hotel room, and especially during the holidays, it sounded like it could be a pretty lonely time.
Well, we ate a lot of truck stop Christmas. That, when you got young guys sitting around the table homesick, you do the best you can. I guess I did okay at my age, but, that last thing in Missouri wound it up for me. I said, I'll find other things to do, but I'm not going out on the road again. It's just not fair to, it was wearing on me, but it was an adventure, and I'm glad I did it. No regrets. I'm not going to regret anything, but, Toy Janelle's been under the weather this week. She told me something yesterday. She was going to try to call in. She told me her dad loved Christmas, and when he came home, it was like it was like Christmas vacation. He lighted a place up that you could see from the moon. know what I mean? And she was telling me how much he would go out and do that. He went to Memphis and got her a Cabbage Patch doll. He went all the way to Memphis because he couldn't find one nowhere. And I was hoping she could call in, but that was quite a story. It told a little bit about the man there,
Yeah, how about that? Well, Larry, before we close it out, give me a score prediction for Friday night. I know you're going to be glued to the TV, Alabama and Oklahoma.
I'm going to go with 27-10.
Bama.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well,
Larry, I hope we're all here to rejoice next week, and I know it makes for
a long week when we lose, but this is it right here, brother. This is the audition for the next show, you know. We're going to have to do it, so I got faith. I feel like we will.
All right, Larry.
I want to wish everybody Merry Christmas, all the callers, the people that email me. I'll try to tell more stories. You know, Tom mentioned that months ago. He said, tell more, and I will. I'm an open book, but I'll blend it in. But we got to get back to the 70s, and we'll do that when we get through the holidays and finish that out. So we'll have some fun.
All right. Merry Christmas, Larry. Talk to you soon.
Merry Christmas, brother.
All right, thank you. And we're going to try to get in one phone call for the sports side of things before we close it out. Cowboy's on the line. Hey, Cowboy, got just a couple minutes here.
Oh, I wanted to talk music.
Okay, well, Chase said you wanted to talk to me. You and Chase got to get on the same page, man.
I said, Chase, I want to speak to the music man.
Well.
Oh, well.
All right.
I was going to ask Merry Christmas. I guess maybe you could call back and tell us I was going to tell him my favorite Christmas song was that U2 song, We Are the World.
Oh, that was great. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hate you, Miss. Like I said, you and Chase got to get on the same page, man. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I told Chase I don't speak to the music, man. My goodness.
Okay.
He's got too many. He's been shaking his cowbell too much, you know.
All right.
He can't hear it.
Well, we got to run, Cowboy. I hate you, Miss Larry. But I may try to, you know, like I said, I'm out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. May try to get Larry on Tuesday next week. If not, he'll be back.
Merry Christmas, Larry.
He's listening. Hey, sorry about that, Cowboy. Thank you. All right, we got to close it out here. Before I do, I want to remind you, lunch is right around the corner. What cool lunch place do I want to promote today, Chase? I got so many of them. How about Innisfree and the Lucky? I still got to get you over for the Lucky Lunch Meeting 3. Problem is, Chase, you know, he's got other shows to do before he leaves here. But that Lucky Lunch Meeting 3 at Innisfree, it is outstanding. Also, the Lighter Appetite Lucky Lunch Soup and Salad Combo. All right, that's going to do it for the show. It's been a good show today. Back here tomorrow for the Thursday edition, Coach Ellis Johnson, D. Orlando Ledbetter will be with us. Jeff Spiegel's got a conflict in the morning, so he was going to try to arrange his schedule. I said, man, he's got a little granddaughter in a program. I said, enjoy that. We'll get you back on it another time. But catch me on TV tonight with local news on WVUA 23. Miller's Edge is coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.